بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه في الأولين وفي الآخرين وفي كل وقت وحين وفي الملأ الأعلى إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اشرح صدرنا ويسر أمرنا واحلل عقدة من لساننا يفقهوا قولنا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته everyone. I present to you the MSA Take. It is a podcast presented by the University of New South Wales, MSA. MSA stands for Muslim Student Association. And I'll be your host, inshallah, today. My name is Hashim Nahir, and I have my co-host with me, Abdurrahman Tijani. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
And alhamdulillah, today we have a very esteemed and very, very special guest, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Brother Shu'aib, a.k.a. the Sunnah Guy. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my beloved brother, Hashim. How are you, man?
Wallah, alhamdulillah. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Likewise, man. Alhamdulillah. I've stayed in contact with you more than anyone, bro, since my departure from Australia. So, alhamdulillah, bro. Always a pleasure to reconnect, you know?
Alhamdulillah. Wallah, we need to bring you back sometime. We need to bring you back. There has to be a second trip.
Inshallah. I'd love to.
To introduce Brother Shu'aib, inshallah, he is a da'i from the UK. He's an inspiration and a motivational figure. And most of us, or most of you, will know him through the Instagram or through TikTok. And you'll find him all over the place, wallah. SubhanAllah, he's popped off, especially in the past, only 2 to 3 years on the Barak. Brother Shu'aib, tell us more about yourself. What are you about?
Myself, Habib, I've been involved in local da'wah. So that is pretty much what you guys are doing at the MSA. Hosting events, pizza nights, FIFA nights, etc. Events for brothers, sisters, etc. People just to get together, just to kind of find a Muslim identity, just to find people who are in a very similar mindset to yourself. Walked through the doors of my masjid in 2011 as a young spring chicken 17-year-old. Didn't find any brothers around me. Made dua to Allah every day, every night. Oh Allah, send me brothers. Oh Allah, give us a brotherhood. Worked day and night for the next 5-6 years to establish a brotherhood. Now we have over 100 young da'wah leaders. Yesterday I attended a school iftar from a grammar school of boys that I've mentored for the past 6 years. They set up an iftar, 250 people. They do Jummah khutbah there now. 150 students go to Jummah there. From just 3 years ago, there was only 10 people doing it. You know, alhamdulillah, bro. And that's multiple schools in our small town. So it's a case of grassroots da'wah. That's what I know. That's the, you know, before I picked up a camera, before I actually started showing my face on Instagram or TikTok or whatever, grassroots da'wah was what it was all about, bro. My local community. And it is still about that. But obviously, you know, life has changed a little bit, and now we're kind of traveling the world and giving that one. And obviously now, alhamdulillah, as I can't travel too much, I don't want to travel too much, I'm connecting with people through, alhamdulillah, MGN here, yourself and others as well that are involved, alhamdulillah, you know, very grateful for that. And you know, bro, alhamdulillah, we're just kind of pushing through and trying to help people as much as we can. I don't consider myself a student of knowledge or anything like that, bro, just your brother who has been through the rough, the works in the West, the system. I've gone, done a 9-to-5 job. I've been to school. I've grown up here. I know the culture. I know the food. It's just literally within me just to be in the West. And then I am kind of the epitome of the Western Muslim, you could say. So the definition of a Western Muslim, you know, you're pretty much looking at it. And to be honest with you, I want to help young Muslims in the West rediscover their Islamic identity. That's probably my biggest mission, is to help people get to Jannah, you know, go to Jannah myself and take as many people as I can with me. We do that through many, many different things throughout the years, retreats, events, halabat, lectures, classes, whatever we can, bro. We throw the barn door at it, bro. We just do whatever we can, just pile on as many things as we can throughout the year, pack the schedule and just do our best and hope that Allah Azza wa Jal rewards his feeble, weak and humble slaves for our small efforts, you know?
I mean, Allah, I'll take life. Allah mubarak, mashallah. You've gone, I would say there has been strides in the da'wah scene, especially online. And wallah, you have, if anything, I must say, you and many others have been at the forefront of it, alhamdulillah. And you guys, I can speak on behalf of the MSA, and you guys are a big inspiration to all of us. Like a lot of us that go to university, and like it was surprising when you came last year, but like we would be scrolling through TikTok and you'd see like a real, saw something from the Sunnah Guy, and then all of a sudden there's an event happening and he's there. Very surreal, alhamdulillah. Wallah, you guys are an inspiration, alhamdulillah.
A pleasure, bro. Alhamdulillah.
You did mention the, I think there's a good segue to do this now. You did mention the MGN, the Muslim Global Network. Could you give us an in-depth rundown on what that is? Well, what's that like? What are you guys doing it? What's the benefit?
Habibi, over the last few years, we've seen the moral fiber of society deteriorate at a rate that we've never seen before. We've never seen such deterioration of morality. And in such times of confusion, we see the Muslims, alhamdulillah, although there is a spiritual revival, the masajid are getting filled up, alhamdulillah, throughout Ramadan, and, you know, alhamdulillah, people are finding the deen. We find that there is little to no structure in terms of what we're doing, in terms of our force, in terms of moving forward. I've always said to myself that one thing that I've done is build communities. That's one thing that I've done in my own local community, so I know how to do it. And I've always wanted to create a dynamic community online that is going to help Muslims be equipped in the global battle against Shaitan and his army. Habibi, we are in the stage and in a life right now and in a time. The zaman that we live in, bro, we have to be honest with ourselves. The minor signs have all come. Every sign that we see around us, يَتَطَاوَلُونَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْبُنْيَانِ, the Arabs building tall, high buildings, كَاسِيَاتِ عَارِيَاتِ, women, naked but clothed women, for example, a mother giving birth to her slave master, disrespectful children. We've seen the tunnels being carved in the belly of Mecca. We've seen Mecca returning back to luscious green meadows. Everything is happening in front of our eyes. We are literally living in the last 20, 30 years seeing so many of the minor signs. And with the advancement of technology and AI and what's happening in the world today, the worst times are coming ahead of us. And for that, I've always had a vision of building a community that is going to help people grow and become better holistically in this global battle against Shaitan and his army. Because good versus evil is out there right now. And really and truly, my bro, this community here is a one-stop shop for growth. It's a place where you can simply come and you can learn and you can better yourself. So for example, we have a free server here. Within 35 days, we've grown to over 11,000 members. I have no idea whether that's good or bad. Like, I've got no metric of standard, right? But you see, for me, alhamdulillah, I'm just happy that people are here, people are taking part, and we're here close to midnight, and mashallah, we have about 80 people here in the call listening from all over the world. And so from my perspective, this is a great way to interact with people, to reach out to people, to create that personal bond. And we also have a paid server as well. And we have, you know, a way for people to actually genuinely benefit from it. And that paid server, I'll drop the link here in the chat as well, inshallah, for people, anyone that does want to kind of be part of that server. There's also that option there where you can actually genuinely be part of private Q&As and actual sessions where ustads and, you know, teachers are going to be coming as well. If some of the mods are with us, just drop the link in there, inshallah. But for me, it's showing me great signs that if 11,000 people can genuinely grow inside a community within a few days, within a month, okay, this can become something humongous. And imagine if we grow this free server to over 100,000, 200,000, and we slowly start expanding and building and adding more weight to it in terms of the value proposition. What can we actually do? We have so much at our disposal right now. And seriously, the sky is the limit. And that's why the Muslim Global Network was created. The actual vision, Hashim, is in the name. Muslim Global Network. It's a global network. And this is what we want to achieve. The aims are massive, bro. But we just need to take the right steps, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And inshallah, we will get there with your help and with the help of others as well, bi'idhnillah.
Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, bi'idhnillah. I remember when you came over here and you mentioned this in your talk, and subhanAllah, it was only just an idea that was less than half a year ago. And subhanAllah, look how much it's grown.
Crazy. Yeah, subhanAllah, do you remember that in your MSA, bro? Like, the banners were up and I was talking about in like the way of a concept. Like, this is what we want to do, this is what I want to achieve, and subhanAllah, we're here now, man.
Inshallah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin. It's honestly a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For our listeners, inshallah, I'll just read out the link. If you'd like to join the premium service, inshallah, for the Muslim Global Network, of course, we'll also be posting this on our socials. It is https://pxl.2/mgn-premium, inshallah ta'ala.
Alhamdulillah. So if anyone does want to join, the link is there, inshallah, in the chat. Have a look through that, inshallah. We still currently have our offer, which will be probably ending in 2 or 3 days, inshallah.
Inshallah ta'ala. That's awesome. Hello. To get on to the main topic, this is a very, very important topic, and I must say, this is a very talked about issue in the MSO, mm-hmm. from my perspective, yeah, from the time that I've been there. This is the Muslim identity. So there is a conundrum. You live in a Western society. You live in a society and a universe, and especially universities. People coming out of high school, morals somehow just fly out the window. There isn't really much going on. People are carefree. They want to do whatever they want. So how do you, as a Muslim, someone with core values, deal with such an environment? This is a topic that is plagued a lot of our students, a lot of our MSA members. But let's start off with, when someone talks to you and tells you the Muslim identity, what comes to mind first? Well, what does that mean to you?
So Hashim, essentially, bro, the Muslim identity, it's not mechanical. It's not something that is, like binary. There's a spirit. There's a soul. There's a heart. There's a deep intention and a deep sense of belonging and purpose that drives this identity. It's much less about definitions and mechanics and more about heart and soul. And genuinely, wallahi, you could be a Muslim walking through town at night or the city at night. And how do you feel? Do you feel in one way deprived that they got the bottles out and they're having a great time? Or do you walk with your head held high? Do you walk in such a way that what you have is so much better than what they have? And that comes down to genuinely knowledge and understanding what you have. And I feel that's probably the biggest thing that we are lacking, is an understanding of what we actually have and what we have in Islam and what this actually means to us and how many people out there are deprived of this blessing. But it's about perspective, isn't it, bro? It's about perspective, because some people think, oh, it's not cool to be Muslim. Oh, I feel shy to be a Muslim. Wallahi, for me, I could wear a thobe, have my beard, walk through town and just feel like the happiest man on earth. You know why, bro? Because it's about knowledge. You need to know and understand what you have is better than what they have. Because really and truly, 30 years ago, they were imprisoning homosexuals. And now, subhanAllah, it's celebrated. We're not going to go into whether it's right or wrong. But let's just speak some facts. Morality is not an ever-shifting goalpost. Morality is a constant. Good and bad is a constant. And the problem here with these people is that they live in a world where their values are constantly shifting. The goalposts are constantly moving. So, what they love today, they will hate tomorrow. What they hate today, they will love tomorrow. And therefore, there is no certainty. Whereas what you have is something rooted deeply with divine morality. And divine morality is from who? The Creator. But it's about knowing that it's from the Creator. It's about opening the Quran and actually introspecting and thinking, is this from God? Is this from the Creator? Did God speak these words? God, the one that created the heavens and the earth, the one that created the fruit in my hand, the one that created my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my nose, my tongue. That God, that Creator, the one that spins the earth, the one that created the sun and the moon, the one that alternates the day and the night. That Creator, did he speak these words? And if he spoke these words to his messenger and his prophet, and what is in here is divinely sent from him, then truly this must be the truth. And this must be the thing that we need to hold on to. And that there is how you will be able to truly understand what your identity is when you actually delve deep and you start to really get to the root of the problem. And that is essentially a lack of knowledge, a lack of understanding. You know, bro, Surah Al-Ma'idah was read today. And the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah and the beginning of Surah Al-An'am. And in Surah Al-An'am, Allah Azza wa Jal speaks. He says that He is the one that splits the date seed and He causes a seed to sprout. And then He brings fruits from the rain that comes down and the date palm trees when the dates are hanging low. And then you eat them. Allahu Akbar. انظر كيف نصرف الآيات. Look at all of these signs. Look at all of these blessings. Subhanallah. Wallahi, when I speak about this, it brings me so much joy in my heart, bro. Because when you think about this and when you think about the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal that He has given us and how He communicates with us and how He tells us these things, you marvel and you wonder. And you feel pity for the people out there who don't have this. Who don't have this constant guidance. This constant pillar in a collapsing world. This absolute constant moral code of conduct that is yet to say yes or no, that is yet to bend to the whims and desires of society. And therefore, how can you not take pride in that? And for me, Hashim, it's a matter of heart, bro. Wallahi, it's not a matter of mechanics or a matter of mere technicalities. It's a matter of heart. If your heart is in there, then what else do you need? This heart is guided by Allah, and it's honestly the blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla if He has given you that guidance. But I feel, Habibi, the problem is this. I feel the problem is arrogance. And you're probably wondering, what do I mean by that? Arrogance in a way where you feel you know better than the creator of mankind. Where you feel that you know better than God, or where you think that a book is, you are too good to have a book tell you what to do, or a God to tell you what to do. You could be a timid, shy person, or on the outset, you could be very humble or studious or whatever. But kibr and pride isn't for those people who are loud. No, kibr and pride is something deep within. And it's, what type of hesitation do you have when Allah says something? What type of hesitation do you have when Allah speaks? What type of hesitation do you have when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says something? Do you look at the Quran in a sense of cynical attitude? Do you have a cynical eye towards the Quran? Do you squint your eye? Oh, I don't like that. This is the problem. Is the state of the heart needs to change. The heart needs to become lower. The heart needs to admit where it's going wrong. The heart needs to be broken. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, He says, how many of these nations have we punished so that they may become humble so they remember Allah? Allah says in the Quran, وَلَنُذِيقُنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجُونَ. We give you a small taste of punishment. We punish you a little bit before the larger punishment. Perhaps then you will be humble and turn back to us. So I see this, bro. I see this as a problem of the heart and the problem of knowledge as well. That if you combine the two things there, for one aspect, it's knowledge, knowing and understanding what the Qur'an is. And the second aspect, really and truly, it's more important. But it's the attitude that you approach the Qur'an. It's the attitude that you approach God. And it's the attitude that you approach what Allah has revealed. That, in my opinion, bro, is the heart and soul of this problem of identity. Afterwards, we can discuss all the problems under the umbrella. But right now, the biggest thing, in my opinion, is the fact that we ourselves do not understand that we need to equip our mind with knowing what Allah, who Allah is, what the Quran is, what the message is, and also approaching it in a state of humility.
Jazakallah khairan. You mentioned that, you know, as Muslims, that identity, we should have the izzah when we're walking around, when we're among society. And it really reminded me, because I haven't met you personally, I couldn't attend any of the events when you were in Sydney, but inshallah, maybe when you come back. But I've been following your page for a while, and one of the videos that you often post is of Brother Jamil, and that video where he talks about you know, being able to bang your chest when you're walking out, when you're wearing a thobe, when you're expressing your Muslim identity. And you mentioned just now that in order to reach that state, there's two key things, which is the knowledge and the heart. And I think one of the many questions that I want to ask, but also Muslims in uni would think about is that there's a lot of us where we are practicing, we read the Quran, we have that relationship, we have some type of relationship, and when we are in that Muslim environment, we express ourselves, we have that pride in being Muslims. Then when it comes to outside that Muslim environment, I think it's because we've been raised in the West, and the Western ideology is the dominant ideology, and we've kind of have this passive passive submission, where we think that they're better than us. We won't say it explicitly, but it's internal. And so when we are outside with people who are non-Muslims, and we're in non-Muslim environments, whether it's work or in classes, and when it comes to us expressing our Muslim identity, we may struggle a little bit. We will answer quietly. We'll say, yeah, I'm a Muslim. Or why are you not eating? Yeah, because I'm Muslim, fasting. There's no, that ezza that was there when you're with your Muslim friends goes away. So can you explain what's missing? What's causing that psychological barrier? Like, how do we overcome that?
So I feel that a lot of people, genuinely speaking, they don't know what they have. And you can never appreciate something if you do not know about it. Like, you need to really know what you actually have. And it's like, for example, and I find this generally with born Muslims, right? If you've had the light on since birth in your room, what's going to happen? You won't appreciate the light. You won't ever be able to appreciate what you actually have. But what ends up happening is that if you lived a life of darkness, in darkness, and then the light turns on, you will remember the days that were dark, and you will always appreciate the light. And simply, my bro, it's a lack of appreciation for what we have. And sometimes that comes down to us reminding them, us holding these events, us doing what we can to impact the hearts of the believers. And for those that don't know, I posted the video of Brother Jamil inside the chat. They can have a little watch of that as well if they like. And look, I look at Brother Jamil, for example, right? Hold on, let's play the video for the brothers and sisters. I'm going to just share my screen for a second, inshallah. I think let's make it a little bit more interactive. Is that okay, Hashim? Are you okay to do that?
Of course. Or even full screen on my end as well.
Bismillah. Where we gone? All right, let's watch the video, right?
I remember this, yeah.
Wait, can you guys see it?
Yes.
Yeah? Yep. You guys can see my screen, yeah?
Okay. I know it sounds stupid, but when I say Muslim up, and if you don't have a pity, I'll walk through town in a third. I'm in a tupi. My wife in a jilly bag, him out of gloves, niqab. My daughters are wearing hijab, and people look at me funny. I'm like this. Not in arrogance, but because I have something far more beautiful than you'll ever have in your life.
Allahu Akbar, man. Wallahi, every time I watch that video, it brings me to tears, because the thing is, brothers, wallahi, when I think about that, and I think about the Islam. Allah, man. Sorry. Islam for us is everything. Because we know the filth that is out there. You see, when you glorify the world out there, my brother, when you glorify the world out there, you will always downplay what you have. It's this sense of, for example, inferiority complex. It's this sense of, you think what they have is better. You think the partying and the clubbing and the banter that they have. Listen, wallahi, I've been college with non-Muslims. The banter is, they all backbite each other. They all have banter each other in a way that, for example, is demeaning each other. They don't have the moral fiber of boundaries, of not backbiting, of honoring your brother, of preserving the sanctity of your brother. They don't have these values. They don't have any of this. And subhanAllah, you think that the life that they have is worth living? You think that they're truly happy? When the prescriptions of antidepressants has been at an all-time high in 2023, how can we say that these people in this world today are living a happy life? How are they people are living a life of tranquility? They are not. Wallahi. You see them. You see them. You may see them as people who are putting on a facade, trying to show that they're happy, but inside they're torn. There's hollowness, there's emptiness. When you cannot answer the basic questions of who created you, what am I doing, and where am I going to go once I die? And more importantly, what is my purpose? So anyone that doesn't have a purpose, ultimately speaking, my bro, it's always going to be a case of they're going to feel hollow, but they're going to show the world. Look at social media, for example. Look at social media. Let's say it's a great example of social media, right? A couple won't have a great relationship. And I've seen this firsthand. They won't have a great relationship, but guess what they'll do? Hey, hey, come, 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 come. You know, they'll do that. Why? They want to show what? They get happiness out of showing the world that they are happy. The pursuit for them is making sure that people see or perceive them to be happy. That's the pursuit for them. Whether they're happy or not doesn't really matter. And so for these people, we need to understand that everything we see out there, the world, wallahi, it's lonely. People are lonely at the end of the day. People are sad at the end of the day. People are very, very sad. Look, honestly speaking, even if you look at relationships on campus, and you guys will probably be a testification for this. You guys can probably see this, right? Relationships off campus, there's always a drama. There's always, are they happy? Are they happy couples? Wallahi, always some drama happening. Always something happening. Why? Because you see, it's this cute thing to be like a uni couple. And so the reality is that everything is a facade. We have like rose-colored spectacles when we look at everything else. We romanticize things in our mind. Wallahi, we don't understand. It's very, very true because we don't see things in its true perspective, which is a dry reality. A dry reality. And the thing is, people don't want to show that. But if you look at people, for example, having fun or whatever, etc., and you feel shy, wallahi, guess what we have? We have Islam. We have something phenomenal. We have something incredible. We have something. Wallahi, learn about Khalid bin Walid. Learn about Abu Ubaidah Amr bin Jarrah. Learn about Umar al-Khattab. Learn about Amr ibn al-As when he went to Egypt. Learn about Khalid bin Walid, how he ripped through the Persian armies. Learn about all the battles that the Sahaba went through. Learn about the sacrifices that they made. Learn about the battles of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Learn about how he taught people the religion. Learn about how he was a man and how he looked after his family and the teachings that he gave that are still timeless today. Learn about these things. And then you will truly understand what you have is better than what anyone else has out there. So for me, if someone's there, are you fasting? Wallahi, say it with chest, man. What do you have? Are you shy to fast? Are you shy to hold on to something that is timeless? Or giving in to the whims and desires of the world around you? And that's why, bro, for me, I feel that the biggest thing here is, like I said, it always goes back to those two things. Knowledge and heart. Knowledge and heart and niyyah, intention. Once you can hammer in on those two things, bro, you can identify where the problem is.
100%. Allah, true words have not been spoken before, subhanAllah. That's honestly, and I think one of the viewers also mentioned as well, it's a, you know, one of the funny things about like getting asked, are you fasting? It's like, not even water. You can't drink as well, subhanAllah. No, it's a big deal all of a sudden. But they don't. The thing is, explaining to them that this is more than just a fast. This is, yani, this is spiritual cleansing. This is something that I'm giving up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallah, think just the word, the phrase, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the hardest thing for them to comprehend. Subhanallah. And wallah, it is it's a ni'mah that we are able to comprehend this and even act upon this. Subhanallah. And you mentioned, you were talking about those who are very timid and are very shy and don't want to express their Muslim identity. But we have another type of Muslim on our campus who is, I will say, they're born Muslim, most of them. They're born Muslim. However, either circumstances, we don't know what lie, circumstances, environment, upbringing, they're more Muslim by name. They're Muslim by character, by family, by association. And a lot of them, we actually have conversations with them. We know we're a part of similar societies, and you know we interact with them. They usually come from like they'll stick to their cultural societies. The question for you is, those type of individuals. I have a friend from a cultural society, and he's just afraid of joining the MSA. He's afraid of expressing his Muslim identity because he thinks that he's not good enough, or he's going to get judged, or he doesn't want to be too much involved in the Islamic community because, yani, he's got a past and he's done this, and yani, he's not, yani, the most appropriate man. You know, he wears shorts, he Like, he just doesn't want to get involved. How do I, as a Muslim and as a da'i, drag this person along? For the sake of Allah, I love him so much as a brother. And I know him, but I want to drag him along. And he's just afraid. He's just afraid of accepting that part of his Islam.
So I'll tell you more of a strategic answer. Because the thing is that I can give you a simple answer. Be good to him. Be kind to him. Everyone's going to say that. What I'll say to you, bro, essentially is, look, if you're part of the MSA and if you're part of the Da'wah group and if you're part of actually the Muslim Brotherhood and, you know, the sisterhood, etc., then it becomes incumbent upon you to do two key things. Number one is to make sure that you understand and you know that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You need to go above and beyond in making sure that people feel welcomed and comfortable and loved in an environment more than anything else out there. Remember what you're competing with. You're competing with all the haram out there. You're competing with Snapchat. You're competing with pornography. You're competing with social media. You're competing with all other environments, the clubs and the raves and all the other things that they do. You're competing with all of that. So don't make this environment stale. Don't make it cold. Don't make it dry. Make it warm and welcoming. Make it a place where, genuinely speaking, you have a few people and their sole role is to just welcome people in. We had a Da'wah leaders gathering at my house the other day. One of the brothers, his only role, he's got nothing else to do. He doesn't bring any of the food. He doesn't bring anything. He does no contribution to the gathering whatsoever, ever. I say, your sole job is to just go and make people feel comfortable. That's it. And he said, for example, you know, oh, I can't come down. He's a uni student. He's like, I'm broke, bro. I need to get a train. I said, I'm paying for your train. You're coming to this meeting because I need you here. Because these are people that you need. You need to have people. And there need to be a few people within your group that their sole purpose is to simply make people feel loved and welcomed. And is to make them feel like they're part of a group, part of a brotherhood. Because you have to understand that the world out there is cold. Don't make it cold inside. Don't make it cold inside the house. This is a house. When people come into your house, what do you do? Do you say, change your hairstyle, change it? No, welcome. It's okay. You be you. Come inside. You can change later. It's not a problem, inshallah. It's not a problem at all whatsoever. So people who are feeling judged, my advice would not be to them. My advice would be to the people who are actually doing the judging, who are actually not inviting them in properly, who are doing a bad job at representing Islam. Fix up, man. We really need to make sure that we give people a chance. These people aren't just Ramadan Muslims. Islam clicked for all of us at one point in our life. And if Allah can forgive mass murderers, prostitutes, and thieves, what makes you think that Allah cannot forgive a person with a piercing or a tattoo or someone that's committed zina or someone that smokes weed? Everyone needs a chance. Everyone needs some time or something and an opportunity to change. Do not ever be the barrier for someone changing. And my advice to those people who are looking to change, don't worry about people. Today, people will praise you. Tomorrow, they will throw you by the wayside. Today, they will love you and parade you. Tomorrow, you'll be a nobody. This journey is not a relationship between you and people. This journey is a relationship between you and Allah. If you lose focus of that, forever you'll be wandering for validation. You'll be seeking and going on an endless quest that has no end of validating yourself through the eyes and lens of people and their opinions. Where in reality, the only words that they will say in the end is "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." That's the end conclusion for what everyone will say about you. So don't worry about people, because people today will love you and tomorrow will hate you. You focus on Allah. You focus on your Creator. And just know that if Allah can forgive someone who killed 99 people, what about you? If He can forgive a woman that was a prostitute, what about you? If He can forgive thieves, murderers, rapists, who turn back to Allah in repentance, what about you? Never forget that Allah Azza wa Jal, He says in a hadith Qudsi, "Oh my servant, if your sins were to reach the skies, and if you turn to me in repentance, I will forgive you. Oh my servant, if your sins are as wide as the heavens and the earth, and you turn to me in regret, having not associated anyone with me, then I will forgive you." Allahu Akbar. Do not worry and make this pursuit with you and the people. For wallahi, it's between you and Allah. That would be my advice, inshallah.
SubhanAllah. And Allah, sometimes we recite this every day. But sometimes we forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huwa ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. He is the most gracious, the most merciful. We forget that this is a very crucial name of his 99 names, SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah.
Allah.
While you were mentioning that we should be welcoming to every type of Muslim, because essentially what we're trying to do is build that brotherhood. And so we shouldn't try to push people off just because they're at a different stage of their Muslim journey. And that just came to my mind, this question came to my mind, which is that as an MSA, and this is more of like a strategic question, you now, like from the MSA's perspective, you now have this balancing thing that you're trying to do, which is that you're trying to be as welcoming as possible of Muslims from various backgrounds. We live in a very multicultural society. People have various experiences. They've grown up differently. And so you're trying to create a Muslim environment and a Muslim-centric environment. But at the same time, you want to be as welcoming to people, as many Muslims as possible. So how do you maintain that balance and you don't go too much to one side where you push people away? And also you don't go too much to the other side where you become too lax, and then with the goal you're trying to achieve goes away, essentially.
So Rayyan hit the nail on the head. Absolutely, this is it. I'll mention that, inshallah. But look, I can only tell you what we do, right? Essentially, bro, and look, as unorthodox as it is, food is a great icebreaker, right? Food is a great icebreaker. Bro, wallahi, we do something. Okay, let me give you the perfect example, bro. Yeah, check this out. We have our annual iftar at my friend's house. He has like a 9-bedroom house, or like a jacuzzi, swimming pool, everything, mashallah, big, big house. Probably see it on my Instagram. Like, we do like every Ramadan, we do like the iftar, right? And this iftar, what is it? For the first 2.5 hours, swimming pool, jacuzzi, football, vibing, just chilling, nasheeds playing, whatever. And then it's what? Food. And then it's what? Salah. And then it's what? Campfire and reminder. And then to end the night off, Taraweeh prayer. And then chill, food, snacks, desserts, whatever. You see, the thing here is, it's not an either or question. Don't make it an either or thing. Don't make it a thing where it's like basically, oh, you either have to be too lenient or you either have to be too strict. No. Have boundaries, like as in if there's non-practicing people and if they come as individuals, they're not going to influence you. Just be a nice guy. Wallahi, listen. I've learned over the years, honestly speaking, don't try to fake it. Don't try to say slang words that you think you're going to fit in with them because you just sound like a weirdo, right? Don't try to do things that just like make you like, you know, you look like a dad joke guy, right? So just leave it out. Don't try to be too like involved like that. Be a nice guy. Wallahi, be a genuinely friendly person. Be a decent guy. And you know what? Take them to the food. Offer them some food. Buy their lunch for them. Treat them good. Say pleasant words to them. It's actually very simple. Get to know them, small talk. Ask them about themselves. And then afterwards, bring them to the reminder. Make sure they come to the salah. Bring them in. But do it on an individual basis. If you've got groups of these people coming in and they all stick together, they might disrupt your event. So what I say is, on an individual basis, get people in one by one. And think long term. Each individual, invest in the relationship. You know, some of our da'wah leaders today, the way I got to know them is walking up to them randomly in the masjid and saying, do you like football? And they say, yeah. I said, come play football with us. I'll pay for you and I'll also buy your food afterwards. I mean, it's an offer you can't really reject, right? So they came, we played football, we brought them lunch, we brought them like food afterwards, and today they're the ones running the events. I don't know, what did I do, right? The point being is that you just got to think a little bit outside the box, and that's all it takes, bro. Without compromising your values, without allowing them to socially outnumber you, and without being overly burdensome and strict within the gatherings in and of itself. Let the gathering do the talking. You don't give the reminder, let other people give the reminder. Let the salah deal with it. Let the reminder deal with it. No one needs to go up to him straight away. Bro, I see you got some tattoos, bro. Like, don't do that. You see what I'm saying? Like, relax. Let them come in. Let them do their thing. Let them be themselves. Once they feel comfortable, believe me, they'll open up. Remember, People will love taking advice and listening to those people who they feel they can trust and who they feel have their best interest at heart. Let me ask you a question, Abdurrahman. If your mum was to say to you, Abdurrahman, don't go and hang out with that friend, or Abdurrahman, you need to wear something else, are you going to take offense to it?
No.
Why? Why wouldn't you take offense to it, bro?
Because you know that your mother is coming, is giving you this advice from a good place, from a good heart.
Okay, beautiful. Now let's extend this to da'wah. Imagine if you give someone advice on the first day. You have built no rapport with them. You've built no relationship with them. They need to feel that you're coming from a good place. My best friend today, wallahi, I could pull him up and I could say to him, what the flipping hell are you doing, bro? What is this, man? Come on, bro. You see what I'm saying? So I could say that to him. Why? Because the relationship has been developed. There's trust there. He knows I will never ever do him wrong. He knows that I'll never ever want hardship or bad for him. So therefore, I'll only do good for him. He's paid me back late. So what? I care more about the friendship. I care more about the relationship. And as Muslims, wallahi, we need to invest in our relationships. You will lose when you stop investing in relationships. When you think that life is going to pay you back from being selfish, it never happens. Invest in relationships with people and be a decent person and be patient as well. Because today, you don't need the results. Today, you're planting the seeds. Tomorrow, you reap. Tomorrow, you reap the rewards. Don't expect the results to come today. Have patience, inshallah. And people eventually will change as well, bi-idhni lahi ta'ala.
That's amazing. Well done. Yeah. I think I can attest to the food method. That's how I was. I got ripped in. That's exactly how I ripped in Tijani. But we have this method. We have a meet and greet. You get to know them. There's a barbecue. And at the end of the day, you know, the brothers stick around. Listen, there's a Thai shop. You know, 3 minutes away from the university. Let's all go. And then, alhamdulillah, it is
amazing. That's it. That's what it's about, bro. Bro, it's so easy. Wallahi, bro. Oh my God. Listen, honestly, I'm not trying to say this about myself, but I probably will say it, right? And what I will say, bro, is if I was back at uni, bro, everyone would be Muslim. And I'm because you know what, bro? It's a simple formula. It's a very simple formula. It's non-complicated. Like literally, if you can actually just bring them in, make them feel welcomed, feed them, pay for their food, little sacrifice, get to know them, take their number, message them afterwards, check up on them, see how they're doing, etc. Take them to the next event. Akhi, let the events take care of it themselves. Eventually, they'll feel like they're part of it, bro, because people are craving identity. See what I'm saying?
It's 100% right. Hello, I want to come to our last main question for the day. And I think it's an interesting one. Would you say there are any scenarios in which maybe you shouldn't have that, you know, you shouldn't be like as open about your Islamic identity? Like, are there specific environments you think that might come to mind? Well, like, you know, just keep it on a down low. Especially as a da'i, and it's something that's hard to go through, because it's always with da'wah, it's always you show people through your actions. But is there a time when, you know, this is a time to keep it on the down low, keep it low key?
I say that you don't need to shout it from the rooftops. Like, you don't actually need to be someone that is like all the time overtly out, like, okay, like every now and again wear a thobe to uni. Yeah, cool, no problem. But like, you don't have to. Like, it's okay. Lead with your actions, and as long as you're representing it in, like, for example, if you wear a thobe, or if you have a beard, or if you can, for example, if you, you know, fast or pray and these sort of things, etc. If you're in a workplace, don't go there and call dhuhr adhan. You see what I'm saying? Like, don't stand there and like Allahu Akbar in the office. Like, it's just like, relax, just do it. You're there to work. You're not there, right, to basically stick it on them. Because see, the thing is, I would say to avoid being too loud and proud in environments where you're outnumbered. And I'm saying this, I'm being honest with you. Look. Where you're outnumbered, let's say, for example, now, yeah? We play, I used to play football for a football team, Wycombe Wanderers. Akin Fenwa. I don't know if you guys know Akin Fenwa in FIFA.
You played with him?
No. I haven't played with Akin Fenwa. I left years ago. But he used to play for them. So Akin Fenwa, the strongest player on FIFA, apparently, he used to play for them. So that's my local team, right? So basically, that team there, I used to play for like the youth academy, and I was amongst all these non-Muslims, and I thought like I was on the Dr. Zakir Naik flex at the time, right? I was like literally taking my Quran in with notes and like reading it out to them in the common room. It was like it was like a circus for them. Oh, the clowns here! It was like that. I would embarrass myself, and I learned over the time that it's not about, you know, welcoming yourself grand. Oh, here I am. Here's the Muslim. No, it's about be a decent guy, be good to what individuals, keep yourself to yourself, and when it comes time to individual conversations, yeah, open something up, start a conversation, speak to them. One-on-one, ask them how they are, how they're doing. Get to know them a little bit. Maybe send them a video. Build that relationship. I wasn't building relationships. And so the thing is that really and truly, when you're in an environment where there's way more of them than you, keep it quiet. Do your own thing, you know? If it requires you to speak up, speak up. But really and truly, you don't need to go out of your way. And that's the thing as well. Just be quiet. But here's the other thing. There are times when, and look, everything is circumstantial, right? So there are times when you don't need to be quiet. And I'll give you a time that's very unorthodox, by the way. So I'm on the train. I'm on the train back home. When I'm on this train, bro, it's full of non-Muslims. Full of non-Muslims. These non-Muslims on the train, I'm never going to see them again. I don't know who they are. And I've only got one shot at delivering the message of Islam to them. But how do I do it in a train that's packed full of people? Okay, Ayman, don't spoil it. Right, so here's what I do. I get on the phone. I'm not on the phone, by the way. I'm just like pretending to be on the phone. So John, you want to know why Islam is the truth? Well, let me start from the beginning and explain to you, right? Okay, but look, John, I know you're an atheist and you don't believe in God and you're just working a 9-to-5 and you're coming home every single day thinking that the purpose in life is just to pay bills and die. That's not the purpose, John. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so now let me break it down to you, right? So, let's just say, why are we here? Who created us? Why is the earth so perfect, etc.? Do you get it? So, the thing is that there is a time when you can decide not to be timid and quiet. Because you're giving da'wah to over 100 people without them even knowing what's going on. Right? And wallahi, I've given Qur'ans out on the train. People come to me, wallahi, people have come to me afterwards asking for Qur'ans.
That's clever. That's very, very clever. That's actually like a very discreet way of doing it.
You're never going to see them again. You're never going to meet them again. You don't know who they are. You've got one shot at them. And that's it. Plant the seed. So that's a situation where, for example, you don't have an invested relationship with these people. So you can be a bit loud, bro. Do your thing. You're going to go off the next stop. No problem. But if you're at work and you're seeing these people every day, you need to make sure that the relationship is warm. And to create a warm relationship, don't just come in there with the Islam, like, you know, right hook straight away, bro. It's going to just catch them off guard. So be clever about these things, you know?
That's, I'm going to say, that's, I'm a pitch there to our Dawah team, inshallah. I have a weekly train station.
A weekly train ride.
Exactly. Like the express train from Sydney.
All you see is every day, like 20 brothers just sharing one train ride they're taking home, bro.
I can't lie, that is very, very clever. That's something that,
someone wrote in the comment, John's about to get 100 calls.
Just all of us talking about John. It's John's very interested about Islam.
He should have converted by now, bro.
Well, at this point, what are you doing, bud? What's going on?
What are you doing, John? Why do all of us need to explain it?
Oh my God.
We do have a question from one of our listeners who submitted this through our socials. She says that she struggles to uphold all of the things that are important. And I think some of us might feel this way, where you can't feel the excitement of Islam when you know you should. For example, you watch a video, or like you watch a motivational talk, or you read the Quran, and you know you've understood the meaning of these ayat, but you know that the tea isn't coming. You're not feeling that sure. You're not feeling that that sense of excitement about Islam. When you know you should, you're learned. You know this is the time to, you know, like actually like be proud of the Islam. In those scenarios, like what advice can you give to this sister?
You know, Hashim, the heart is in a constant state, as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, of up and down. He says that the heart changes just like a boiling pot of water, up and down, up and down, up and down. The state of your heart and your iman is fluctuating. Iman is not a station that you arrive at. Rather, iman is a lifelong pursuit. So therefore, when it comes to how she may feel, you may feel great today and you may not feel great tomorrow. That's okay. These things happen. Take a step back. Some days you drag your feet to the prayer. And some days you, for example, are full of life and exuberation. You're excited. But the reality here is that from the perspective of longevity, you know, not every day is going to be great. And so that's why you need to have your triggers. You need to have the things that get you going, the things that warm you up. For me, it's the tadabbur of the Quran. It's the number one thing, bro. Opening the Quran, English translation, reading it. And I absolutely love doing that, bro. It's beautiful for me. And then I love to also listen to some Islamic reminders. Recently, I've been listening to some Arabic, Sheikh Abdul Razak Badr, etc., a few others, etc. Just genuinely, just like, you know, it's my heart. Maybe going for Fajr in the masjid. Look, we're all just trying to find things that are going to stimulate our heart. Don't think that as Muslims that I've been practicing nearly 15 years now. 15 years nearly, right? Next year will be 15. Do you really think that it's been like a constant like that? Bro, it's been that, sometimes backwards, and you're like, sometimes you're there thinking, that's it, it's all over. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla does something to awaken your heart. The most important thing that you need is humility. In this journey, in this spiritual journey to remain steadfast long term, there's one key ingredient. Humility. Man tawada'a lillah rafa'a. The one who humbles himself to Allah, Allah elevates him. If you're someone that humbles yourself to Allah, wallahi, you will find guidance in your life in front of you and Allah opening doors for you. Allah says in the Quran, يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ, that those people, they are arrogant upon the land, right? Without any right. They have no right to be arrogant. What does arrogance mean? Arrogance means that I'm not even going to try. I don't want to bother. You think you're too good. And you may not even know that you're thinking like that. But it may be something that is unconscious. That you drag your feet to the prayer and you just don't want to do it. And you don't want to get better. You're happy. You're happy being lazy. Yeah, I'm happy like this. The pursuit of wanting to be better is a pursuit of humility, because you're trying to lower yourself, better yourself in front of Allah Azza wa Jalla. That there is the nucleus to that spiritual nourishing that your heart needs. Without that, bro, there's nothing. You don't have humility, you've got nothing. You've got nothing. How? Well, and that's why sometimes, bro, sometimes there's brothers who are like on this like strict, harsh, Salafi vibe, right? Nowadays, like really, really harsh, kind of like refuting everyone and telling everyone off, and cool, whatever. But is that what our deen is about? Is that the attitude that we need? What did Allah say in the Quran? أذلةٍ على المؤمنين. ذلة, humble, lowered towards the believers. This is the most important thing when it comes to your relationship with others, and ذلة when it comes to Allah Azza wa Jal. Humble yourself to Allah Azza wa Jal. Humble yourself, lower yourself to your Creator. You know? And there's three relationships. Your relationship with your Creator, your relationships with the Muslimin, and your relationship with your parents. All of them have humility as a hallmark. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, never allow any of you to hold each other to that you're better than another person. Don't hold yourself above another. And that's why humility is such an important factor when it comes to actually finding that spiritual nourishment.
That's right, 100%. I completely agree with you. The hadith you mentioned, إن الله أوحى إلي أن تواضع حتى لا يبغي أحد على أحد ولا يفخر أحد على أحد. So that verily Allah has revealed to me that you must be humble towards one another, so that no one oppresses another or boasts to another. And this is something that you need. This is very hard to maintain, I believe, especially as a teenager and as a university student. And this is, like you said, the key to all things. The key to all things. So if you have this, and once you humble yourself, subhanAllah, just everything falls into place. Subhanallah.
Wallahi, that's it.
Khair, inshallah. Abdurrahman, do you have anything you would like to add?
I think I do have one personal question, if we have time.
Go for it, bro.
Yeah, no worries. So you mentioned how, when we're with our fellow Muslims, we should have that humility, right? That where we care for each other. And so we shouldn't think that we're better than them or we have more knowledge than them. And it reminds me of the ayah where the ayah in Surah, the ending of Surah Al-Fatih, I think, and it says, Muhammad Rasulullah walladhina ma'ahu ashiddaw ala al-kuffair rahamaw baynahum. Like they're merciful to one another, right?
Yes.
And so, and this kind of connects to you, at the beginning, you mentioned how you did grassroots da'wah and you went from, you know, by yourself to building a team of da'wah leaders. And so I just wanted to ask, what three tips that you could share with us from that journey, so then that we could also take, if we also want to undertake the path of, you know, building that brotherhood, building that community of leaders and people who are on that mission of establishing Islam.
Never underestimate how far genuine love can go and caring for another person can go. Wallahi, you will never ever know the extent of it, and you may see it years down the line. Never ever underestimate that. That's the first thing. Number two, never ever make anyone ever feel like an outsider or that they're not involved or that they're not part of the conversation. And never ever 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 make someone the center of the jokes or allow any backbiting. If you can hone in on these three skills, that's it. It's literally that simple, bro. If you can focus on these things, Habibi, wallahi, this is the key to genuinely building a community. And that's the thing, is that you genuinely need to care for people. Bro, here's the thing, yeah? I have people that I work very closely with in MGN, for example. And sometimes I check up on them. It's like, how are you? Like, just because people don't normally do that, bro. People don't check up on others. We just don't. You know, you have to find it within your heart to actually care about others. In my head, here's how I think. I think this person has a life. This person has struggled. This person hasn't got it all figured out. This person has some vulnerabilities. This person may be looking for love and belonging. How can I help this person? This person wants to go paradise. They have good intentions. Make dua for this person and then go help them out. And just ask how they are. Wallahi. You never know how far that could go. Honestly. So from my perspective, bro, what I would say is, understand the importance of relationships. And it will never, ever, ever fail you. Ever. Being a decent person to others will never, ever fail you. And you know, the thing that hurts me the most, and Hashim, you probably saw this when I was in Sydney, is that I can't spend more time with the brothers at the MSAs and the people. Like, when I was there, It was like, run over here, grab some pizza. Run over here, the sister's asking questions. Run over here, they want to take a picture. I'm like, Allah. I just wanted to sit and just vibe and chill with the boys, you know? But we had a schedule and my management team was there and they were like taking me away in the car. And I'm like, flip the heck, man. I'm just like looking at the guy like, oh, you know what I mean? And that's for me, bro, is the biggest thing is the people, you know? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, did he leave back wealth? Did he leave behind wealth? No, he left behind men. He left behind Sahaba. He left behind men who were inspired to do good and khair and better the ummah. So that's why, bro, invest in people, bro, and you'll never ever go wrong, inshallah.
Inshallah. One more time, listeners, inshallah, just the three things they were. Number one?
Yeah, so number one is making sure that, do I have to say in order? Number one, I'm not gonna say in order, right? Yeah. Number one is making sure that people feel welcome, loved, and comfortable, right? Making them feel welcome, loved, and comfortable, okay? Number two is making sure that they feel involved. They feel involved and not like an outsider, right? Number three is, buddy, I can't remember. Number three is going to be no backbiting and don't make them the center of the jokes, ever. Don't ever make them center of the jokes. And remember that love and compassion and genuinely caring about people will go so far.
Inshallah, we'll end off with this. We're going to hit you with some rapid fire questions just to sort of get to know you a little bit more. So, first of those rapid fire questions, Bismillah, what is the favorite country you've been to and why?
Favorite country I've been to, Hawaii. It has to be Australia.
Australia. I feel worse for missing out now.
We did not pay you, by the way.
They didn't pay me enough. Yes, I think, you know what, bro? I think what came from my tour was probably quite life-changing, in my honest opinion. You know, the connections I made, the brothers I met, etc. The relationship I built with Sonny Bill Williams. I think a lot of that was, you know, really much like it was incredible. So for me personally speaking, that was big for me, man. You know, the impact it had on my life, just the atmosphere, the sunshine, the brothers, incredible. Even meeting someone like Hoblos, Muhammad Hoblos, and him, bro. Muhammad Hoblos sent me a message randomly when I went back. Assalamu alaikum, bro. Thinking about you, missing you, love heart. I'm like, is this normal? Like, and then like I just feel so much love from the brothers and in Sydney. Like in Sydney it was just incredible. And obviously Melbourne was mad as well. Melbourne, when I left, I was crying, like subhanAllah, like the brothers in Melbourne, just amazing brothers, you know. And honestly speaking, meeting the guy that One Path as well, doing some work with them. You know, it was just very, 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 very good. Rayan, come on, man. No need to put that there. and so the thing is that, you know, it was just amazing being there, alhamdulillah. I really, really loved it, bro. I didn't get to ride a kangaroo. Oh, yes. Wallahi, bro, you guys and your pranks, man. Honestly speaking, the first was have you told your management team that you want to ride a kangaroo, right?
Oh, I remember this. I think it was Jalal that said this, I believe. It was trying to subhanAllah.
Yeah. And I went to my management team and said, can we ride a kangaroo? I want to ride a kangaroo before I go back. And then it was the falling koala bears. It said, just be careful.
That's actually true, but that's the thing. Like, it's like, no, we're actually running a buck. Yeah, we have, if you search it up, it's called drop bears. It's actually, it's not as common as you think, but it's true. It's true.
And then the third was the fake iguana, the fake iguana. It's on my Instagram, the video where they pranked me.
The hike. I believe you guys went on a hike.
Yeah, with Jibreel and Jalal and all the brothers. Yeah, subhanAllah, man. So, yeah, man. So it was fun. It was fun, bro. You guys love pranks and jokes, and it was nice. It was really good. Wallahi, man. I really enjoyed it, bro. It was a great time. Obviously, meeting Sheikh Bilal and. you know, me, Sheikh Bilal, and all the other people in Australia, and you know, it was just lovely, bro. I really had a great time. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbi. Wallahi, it was a pleasure and an honor to have you, and wallahi, we'd love to have you again. Wallahi, and if there's any chance we can bring you, we'll do it. Inshallah, Taala.
Allah bless. Alhamdulillah, man.
Inshallah.
Khair.
I think we'll end it off here. We'll stop it here, inshallah, for now. We've taken wallahi too much of your time. Wallahi, jazakallah.
I've got a few announcements quickly for everyone before they leave. First announcement is we will be having a Q&A with Ustad Yahya Rabi. I'm just going to share the poster in the chat quickly, guys. So the Q&A with Ustad Yahya Rabi will be in the MGN premium server. So for those of you that want to sign up for the premium server, guys, you guys can come in, ask your questions to Ustad Yahya Rabi as well, inshallah. Also, I would say get signed up to the premium server because I'm going to be with Ustad Abu Taymiyyah for 10 days. And inshallah, while I'm in Australia, I'm going to be speaking with him and we might have him on a unique and special exclusive call as well, inshallah, guys. There's a lot more happening on the other server. We actually have a new series that we're starting as well. That is If I Had to Start Again. I'm doing If I Had to Start Again with Islamic Content Creation. Brother Nazir is doing If I Had to Start Again on Business and Entrepreneurship. And my younger brother, Hamza, who's a fourth year Sharia student in Medina, If I Had to Start Again, the journey of seeking knowledge, right? In Medina, not Australia. Alhamdulillah, we're basically going to be, inshallah, having a lot more activity there. So for those of you that would like to join the premium server, please click that link, inshallah, and join there. Obviously, I'm also available in that chat as well. So anyone that would like to ask me questions and interact with me and have conversation with myself, the chats are active there, inshallah. That's where I'll be most active, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So anyone that wants any personal advice or whatever, etc., feel free to come inside there and message me as well, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So the offer is only live for another 3 days. So for those of you that do wish to join up, inshallah, please click the link in the chat and sign up, and we'll see you inside the page server, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. But yeah, bro, barakallahu feek. It's been a great event. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate that, man. And thank you for coming on MGN as well, man.
Oh, wallah, it's a pleasure. And relax, really. I'll take a life.
It's our pleasure. It's our pleasure.
Jazakallah khair, guys. Thank you so much, man. All right. Inshallah, we take you guys, yeah? Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.